Can you hear the music? You can't hear the music.
Nope. I know it's Senjin Boychuk.
Oh, shit. I love that.
Such a good intro.
Fuck yeah. All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Senjin Boychuk, man. Fuck yeah. Love that guy. I'm pretty pumped. You know, we finally got Justin back on. You know, he was episode 13, weren't you? You were episode 13.
Lucky 13.
This will be 145.
Wow. It's been a hot minute.
It has been a hot minute, dude. It's been a while. Well, we've been planning to get it. We planned to get you back on a few times, right? It's just, you know, shit happens, man. It's been a really busy and weird couple of years.
It has. And you know what? It was an awesome experience the first time. I'm glad to be back the second time. But nonetheless, like you said, quality over quantity, right?
Quality over quantity. Oh, my dude. Yeah, 100%. I have two children. I've shot out millions of sperm, right? Like quality.
Exactly. That's quality control, that is.
That's quality control. Yeah, yeah. She likes to drink a lot of it. Shit.
Shout out to Miss Frost.
Shout out to Mrs. Frost, man. Yeah, she's coming back on an episode here too. We were going to record when I was home yesterday. We were going to record, but she's not feeling so hot right now. So
'tis the season. Kids are back in school and germs are afloating.
Well, kids are back in school for another, I think today was the last day. Then they're on strike for now for who knows how long.
Yeah, hopefully the government can get this resolved quick.
Yeah, hopefully. So how you been, brother?
You know what? Since the last episode, got some new facial gear.
Yeah, mama tried.
Yeah. And then got my new diagnosis from a couple of weeks ago. So I'm on the same path as you with BPD. So learning a lot about that, following some interesting creators, and learning more about my disability, I guess.
Man, fucking BPD. BPD is a ride, right? And like, as you know, I followed your journey and whatnot. As you know, like, it's pretty bumpy and, you know, a lot of shit goes on. And, you know, there's an explanation and there's a way forward now. And like, there's help, right? Like, you're not just swirling around bumping into walls anymore, dude. There's a fishing line in the water. And it's leading you to, you know, greener pastures. Maybe you'll become a cow. I don't know. I don't know where the fuck I was going with that.
Dude, I'm already the size of a cow. But no, I mean, you know, with the diagnosis and stuff, like you said, there's guidance now. I'm not just bumping off the walls. I finally understand why I feel the way I feel. And I understand, like, why I love so passionately, why I'm such a passionate person about things I love and care about. But then I also realize, like, why my mental health has been up and down. It's been a roller coaster ride, you know, with my sobriety, and then kind of I had that relapse, and then I went sober again. So I celebrated 2.5 years of sobriety there. And then around Christmas time last year, I decided that I can have a social drink and that would be it. And unfortunately, that just led to a downward spiral. So back in February, I kicked it again, and I've been sober since.
Yeah, man. Congratulations. I know when I saw you last in February, actually, when I was in Fort Mac, I was there for my follow-up when I busted the old ankle, and I was just chilling there in the hotel, and you brought what the fuck's the dog's name, man?
Mateo.
Yeah, you brought Mateo over for a visit. I think you had just gotten him.
Yeah, I did. That was a couple of weeks after I got him. Drove out to Grand Prairie. Shout out to Ice Mechanical and his beautiful woman. cast. They were kind enough to gift me a chihuahua, and he's literally my best friend.
I love that, man. I love that. Yeah, dude. I when I saw you then, you were a little, you were down, right? You were in the downward spiral, right? And yeah, you needed that pup for sure. But yeah, man, I'm you know, I've watched you, you know, as a person, you know, I've learned to watch you. I've sat back, right? And I've watched in the back foreshadow or in the shadows or whatever. And like, you know, I'm like, all right, Justin, I haven't heard from Justin in a while. How you doing, man? You know, and or you haven't posted or you haven't been live or you know, yeah. So I just yeah, I and then I'll see some scary shit from you once in a while that's like, oh fuck, you know, I gotta call my buddy Justin. And then, you know, like you'll ignore me for the most part, but like you always resurface the next day, right? So it's
Well, that's just it. And amongst the chaos and the mental health, sometimes I get myself in this downward spiral. I overthink, and then I realize that all this overthinking and stuff that was happening, it's not what I thought it was. Now that I have a diagnosis and now that I'm medicated properly and that I'm learning about this and processing everything that has happened, I'm like, okay, you know what? Yes, it was me, but it was a version of me that I don't know anymore. It's only been a few weeks since my diagnosis and my medication, but like to go from someone who was obsessive and had an addictive personality to being level-minded and understand why I thought the way I thought, or understand the reasons I did what I did. Now I'm like, okay, there's toxicity in my life that I need to let go of. And I no longer surround myself with those people.
that's huge, and that's the first step, right? Or that's a big part of it anyway, man. But yeah, man, what kind of meds you on? Because like there's I guess what I read there when I was going through it was like there's no meds for BPD by borderline, but like there are like some of the, you know, surrounding symptoms, right? Like the depression and stuff like that, you can take stuff for that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm on SSRIs, and then I'm also being treated now for my ADHD. So
Yeah.
the combination of the two has really changed my thought process in a positive way, because I no longer obsess about why or why not. I can control those emotions, and like even my anger, my frustration, I'm less pissed off at the world. I'm more chill. I'm enjoying being in my own company, which is hella
Yeah.
nice.
Yep.
'Cause for a long time, I had to look for an outlet to be out of my own company. 'Cause when I got inside my head, I was my worst enemy.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's scary. The biggest thing there, 1 in 10, man. 1 in 10 people. 1 in 10 with 1 in 10 people with BPD, they commit suicide.
And I'm not going to say I haven't been down that road. You know, I hung myself back in February.
Yeah,
Um, and
you showed me. I didn't realize it was in February. It was shortly after before we hung out that you did that, right?
yeah, it
Yeah, like you
was.
showed me the security camera footage of that, man, when we were hanging out. That was pretty scary, dude.
Yeah, looking back at it now, I'm glad it was unsuccessful. I have a lot to be thankful for. It's like I said, I didn't know who I was at that point. I was on a downward spiral. I was struggling with alcoholism again. I was on a bender from pretty much December to February. And yeah, that didn't help. It only exasperated the state of my mental health, and I was exhausted.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's the bender, the substance abuse stuff, right? Like how many you know, you gotta fit 5 of the 9 criteria to be diagnosed. How many did you fit?
Seven.
7. All right. And what are the only ones you didn't fit?
I don't remember exactly which ones I didn't fit. I sat down with my psychiatrist and we went through everything, and then he just gave me my diagnosis. We didn't really touch on what did or didn't fit, but I know he did say of the nine, there's seven things that I meet the criteria for. And like based on my depression and how I was dealing with it, my addictive personality, there was quite a few things that really were eye-opening. And like when I go back to saying obsessive, like some things I was crazy about that were completely toxic to me, and I didn't realize the value of my time and energy. But now that I'm being more comfortable and confident in my own skin and enjoying my own company more, I'm like, you know what? My time and my attention is very valuable. I'm not going to waste it anymore.
Are you doing like DBT, dialectical behavior therapy and shit?
No, not yet. Right now I'm in counseling. So I go to the primary care network and do counseling, where I'm learning more about my diagnosis, learning more about my past traumas. And I was in it before, back in episode 13. I was doing the therapy and stuff. And now I think I'm much more prepared to stick with it. I have the tools, and I requested that I do anger management so that I learn how to deal with that anger and that frustration before it surfaces. So I'm much, much less angry and frustrated, because it's like I didn't know what was going on with me. I just knew that I was my own worst enemy, and I would get inside my own head, and it was just a bad time.
I don't think I've never worn a hat on the podcast before, man. Ah, shit. I was just seeing my bald head in the reflection of the light off it. I was like, oh no. Yeah, man. No, fucking, I tried to have a conversation. You know how they always say, like, try, like, with your, especially you've started journaling and stuff like that. I don't know if you've gotten to this part yet, but try writing a note to the person that you have a lot to say to, right? Like, try writing notes. You don't have to send them or anything like that. But, so I've tried doing that. And then I tried having a conversation with the person, and I see why they say write the note, but don't send it, right? Like, with my parents, nobody wants to hear, and I understand, nobody wants to hear that, like, oh, I'm fucked up and this is why, and it's because of shit you did, right? Nobody wants to hear that, like, someone's fucked up because of you, right? And like, that's just fucking soul shattering, right? And so, like, I tried talking to my mom about it. Very quickly learned that, like, this conversation is not gonna happen. Not in the way I wanted to. Maybe I have to find a different approach or delivery system. And yeah, man, my parents aren't ready for that shit.
No, and I recently cut my mom off again. So I was pretty much 10 years with her cut off, and just recently cut her off again. Like I said, I am no longer a punching bag. I'm going to stand up for myself, and I'm no longer going to tolerate people's unwillingness to support me. It goes back to my age-old saying that blood makes you related, love makes you family, and I'm going to build the family that I want.
I recently had the conversation with my dad a little bit, and we got into it, and he's thinking like I'm mad at him or I have issues with him from shit in the last like 10 years, right? And I'm like, bro, you're not listening. Like, this goes back 30 years. This goes back to when I was a kid, right? This has nothing to do. Man, yeah, I'm mad about shit that happened 10, 20 years ago. But this shit that I'm affected by right now, this goes back way deeper than that, right? And he's like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And I'm just like, bro, like, we can't, we like, 'cause he recently reached out to me, right? And he added me back to Facebook and stuff like that, and I accepted it. And then he started talking to me all normally, right? He started being like, "Hey man, how's it going? You know, I miss you and stuff," and yada yada yada. And we were talking, and then I stopped talking for a couple of days, and then I'm like, I gotta get this out. So I just typed it out to him. I'm like, "Man, I don't know if you know where you want this conversation or this relationship to go, but like, I have something on my mind and I have to get it out. If you're going to be here and we're going to communicate, I have to get this out. And he just took it back to like, you know, recent shit. And then he's like, all I want to know is that you still love me. Right. And I'm like, bro, you're my dad. It would be easier if I didn't love you. Right. It would be. It'd just be as simple as that. He's like, that's all I wanted to hear. And then, you know, I told him to listen to one of my episodes of my podcast and whatnot. And this is what I go through. He's like, send it to me. So I sent it to him. Geez, that was 3 weeks ago, man. And he hasn't said a word to me since. Right. So, you know, I don't know if that relationship will ever, I don't think a relationship was ever going to be there anyways. Right. Mm-hmm. But he wants to know. And he even asked, he's like, how are my granddaughters doing? Right. He asked that. And I'm like, I explained, you know, I gave the rundown of their character and whatnot. And that was it. I didn't give him anything more than that. And yeah, he hasn't said anything in 3 weeks, man. And it's kind of like, okay, like, is that all you wanted? Right. Are you gonna, you know, do you care about other shit? Did the podcast kind of scare you? Did you listen to the episode and it'd be like, oh my God, like, you know, nobody, like I said, nobody wants to be told, oh shit, the blue collar poet came in. Him and I were going to record later. I think he fell asleep. Shit. Hold on a sec. I'm going to add him to this here for a second.
Of course.
What's up, brother?
Hey, my bad, dude.
All good, man. Yeah, Justin and I here recording right now. This is awkward. This is a sexy threesome.
Hey, you can edit this out and I'll come back, bro. Like, it's all good.
It's all good, man.
But, it's all good.
I mean, if you want to throw me in, like, let's go. But yeah, dude, I saw your message and was like, well, he said click the link whenever, and you know.
Yeah.
But I finally just got ready, man, to settle down, make some chicken, and I'm good.
It's all good, man. You want to record tomorrow?
Yeah, dude. If that's
record tomorrow, bro.
Every day is hard for me, I'll just tell you that. But it's going to fall around 8:30.
I get it, man. Let's do it tomorrow, 8:30.
Yeah, just edit me out, and whoever this is, man.
Justin, you guys got to follow each other, man.
Yeah, what's your name?
Bearded Dad 13 on TikTok, but it's Justin.
All right. Hey, I'll find you, man. I'll let y'all go right, edit this out or keep it in, man. It's funny.
This is funny as fuck. All
right. Right? Yeah. What do I hit? Or you just hit me out?
I think I just go boom like that, I think.
Yep, he's gone.
Yeah, there we go. No, that's him and I were going to record earlier and then he just kind of sort of disappeared. And then I was like, fuck. All right. Well, what's Justin doing tonight?
A whole lot of nothing as per usual.
Fuck yeah. Well, yeah, no. Yeah. But I don't know, man. I don't think he was ready for that. Right. So he's still not, I still don't think he really wants to take accountability for his actions and shit.
And that's just it, you know, from my previous cycle in therapy, I learned some burdens are yours to carry, some aren't. And that's a burden that you shouldn't have to carry is the traumatic effect and results of what happened in your past, because it's not yours to carry.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you need to offload that onto somebody, and they're not always ready for that.
They're not, man. You know, I said to my dad, I'm like, man, what going through this has made me realize, it actually has made me kind of, you know, how do I word that? I kind of respect my dad a little bit, right? Because, you know, my dad's gone through some shit. My dad is mentally ill. He's been through it, and he never got the help he needed, right? He never got it. And from what I saw, you know, when he was pushing people away, he needed more people to lean back into him rather than just say, okay, cool, and fuck off, right? But my dad didn't have that support system. And, you know, so he kind of just spiraled out of control, right? And left to his own devices. And, you know, when he met that impact, when he finally met someone that, you know, was ready to, like, meet him head on, it was too late, right? And what that made me do is, like, man, I feel for the guy. You know, it kind of broke my heart a little bit. But I told him, I'm like, man, it's not your fault for your trauma. Your trauma is not your fault, but it is your responsibility to deal with it, right? And,
absolutely.
And like me, right? Like, it's not my fault, but it's my responsibility to deal with it. And here I am, man. I'm dealing with it, and I'm meeting it head on, and I'm taking care of it. I'm trying to be someone that my children don't have to heal from, right? And that's hard. That's fucking hard.
So two things to take away from that for you. Respect and admiration for what you're doing, and love you to death. You know that. And I always tell you how great of a father you are, and an inspiration to me as well.
I don't feel like a great father a lot of the times, man. And that's hard, man. That's hard.
It is. And it's hard to deal with because you don't have those feelings. But those little girls, when they wake up, they know dad's there for me. He's going to protect me. He's going to shelter me. He's going to do everything he needs to do as a dad. And I'm never going to have to heal from him. And I'm doing the same with my kid. You know, I take a lot of my inspiration from you because you are a really good dad. I don't care what anybody says. And nobody will ever take that away from you. And I look up to you, metaphorically, of course, because, you know.
you're like a gentle giant. I love it.
Yeah. I do the same. Like, you know, I want positive reinforcement in my son's life. I want him to make sure he knows he's loved, that he has a voice, that his voice matters. Yeah. And these are all things that I've learned from you, and like dealing with this new diagnosis and understanding who I am. It's just that much more important to break that cycle. And my son is in counseling now too, because he's having a bit of a hard time with me and his mom split, and it's been 2 years, but he now has a constructive outlet. And I recommend everybody try counseling at one point or another in their life, and getting him started, giving him those tools to succeed, I think is astronomical on both me and his mom's part. And I can't even take credit. I have to give credit to my ex-wife for getting him into counseling. But I actually attended a counseling session with him yesterday where he opened up and told me how he felt in an environment where he was comfortable, and he felt like his voice was respected. And I'm like, I'm all for it.
How old is he?
10.
10. Okay. I was 6 when my parents split, man. And, you know, like, I had no idea, you know, how much of an impact being a 6-year-old kid would have, you know. And when you start looking at, like, the statistics behind divorce and the impact it has on the children, and the younger they are and what they're more likely to end up doing and shit like that, and the life paths they choose and whatnot as they get older, dude, it's crazy, bro. It's crazy, you know, they're like 10 times more likely to end up on the streets and doing drugs and shit like that, you know. And like, that's wild, man.
It is. And I'm thankful that my son has two very balanced homes to come home to. You know, his mom and his, I guess you can call him a stepdad. They're not married, but they might as well be. They're like an old couple. But his mom and stepdad, they are they're amazing people. And just because it didn't work out between us doesn't mean I hold a bad grudge. I mean, it took a lot of time to get where I'm at. And learning new boundaries and setting new boundaries, of course. But you know, nothing but the utmost respect and admiration for them as well.
I'm in the hotel parking lot right now in the back seat of the truck, and people are starting to come back. Man, this is I'm in Unity, Saskatchewan, right?
Yeah.
The last time I was in Unity, and I don't know if anybody knows it here, but if you don't have SaskTel while you're in Saskatchewan, your phones are pretty much dog shit, right? So The podcast was recently sponsored by Tracy Shebo from Shebo Resource Management, and he sponsored the podcast with a Starlink, and the Starlink's up on the roof right now of the crew truck. And man, can you see and hear me just fine?
Yeah, I can. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, dude, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, fucking cell service is shit here. Wi-Fi is shit in the hotel room, and you can see and hear me just fine. Shout out to Tracy. I love that guy.
Absolutely. Shout out to Tracy. Tracy, thank you so much for sponsoring. Thank you for the Starlink. I appreciate it just as much as Dick does, because I look forward to these episodes just as much as the next guy.
Oh, fuck, dude. That means so much, man. I get, you know, I was up in, where was I? I was in Hythe, and no cell service in Hythe at the hotel. And I couldn't, yeah, I couldn't really record there either. And I had to go sit behind the co-op card lock and get some, steal some service. And I had to shut the video off because the bandwidth was too much. And yeah, so I shut the video off. There's a couple podcasts from last month that are just, they don't have video for, because there was none, right? I couldn't do it. So, you know, and I said on there, I'm like, I'm looking into a Starlink. And Tracy rode in on a white knight. And he's just like, bro, white knight. Rode in like a white knight. And he rode in on a white knight.
Good. I mean, some people, that's their kink. I mean, whatever. Who are we to judge?
He rode in like a white knight. And he fucking is like, man, I got you. So, you know, the Starlink, man, shout out to that guy. It's going to help so much when I'm up back in the patching camp and trying to do these podcasts too. I couldn't do them in my room. So, you know, shout out to that guy, man.
Absolutely.
So, Justin, man, what do you do for work these days?
Still grinding, still driving truck. Not much has changed. I took the last 5 weeks off to deal with my mental health and actually get myself straight, get my head on straight. So I go back to work on Monday. I'm excited to go back to work. My bank account's excited. 5 weeks off is a long time. But it was needed in the healing process.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I hear that, brother. That's, you know, I didn't do it on purpose. So if anybody fucking comes at me, whoa. But like when I was just at the beginning of my mental health thing, no, I can't say the beginning, because like there have been spouts where I've gone through it. But when I first got diagnosed with PPD, you know, I got injured at work, and you know, that sucked. It sucked. It hurt. It wasn't fun. It wasn't done intentionally, but it was needed. I'll tell you that much. That time off was fucking needed. You know, I had 5 months off basically to heal, mentally and physically at the same time, you know, and it forced me to sit in a room with my choices, my decisions, and everything facing me, and I couldn't move. I couldn't walk away from it, right? Casey sat there and was like, so you can't move, huh? And, you know, so she sat there. It healed my relationship with my kids and I. You know, we weren't estranged, or we weren't in a bad spot, but, you know, my daughters, they didn't really know me, right? Like, I've been just walking around grumpy forever, trying not to be grumpy to them. And, you know, like I'm not grumpy. Leave me alone. Right. I was coming off as grumpy. And the more I tried to be happy and present otherwise, the worse it got. Right. And, you know, and it came to a head, man. I needed to get it out. And, you know, thank God for everything.
You know, and that's kind of it. It was a blessing in disguise for you. And, you got to really sit with yourself. And when you can't run from yourself and you're only there with yourself and your own thoughts, it's a process, but it's a healing journey that almost needs to be had.
Absolutely, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude, there was a lot of tears. Dude, I tried to hide the fact that I cried, right? I'm like, you know, Mrs. Frost, the angel that she is, I swear to God, she was doing it on purpose, man. She'd say some things, it'd get my memory going, and then I'd be like, oh my God. Like I knew I didn't have a relationship with my mom really, right? I knew that, you know, my parents split when I was six. The hole that created that separation, right? the hole that it created, man, I had no idea, right? And then, you know, thinking back, I don't remember Christmases with my mom, dude. I'm a fucking almost 40-year-old man who doesn't have any memories of Christmas with mom. I don't remember ever cuddling her on the couch. I don't, you know, there's a picture of it when she was visiting, but like, that's about it. You know, my parents weren't together. My dad was with some other woman and, you know, that wasn't my mom. Right. And, yeah, dude, I don't have a lot of, you know, the mommy things. And then, you know, when I watch what really, really fucks me up and still to this day, I watch my friends and maybe some of their kids, some of my friends' kids, they have really good relationships with their parents. Right. And it's like, man, you know, like that just, I'd never talked about it before, but when I see that, I'm like, I wonder what it'd be like to have like a functional family. You know what I mean? Like, what's it like having both your parents and, you know, what was Christmas morning like? Something as simple as that, dude. And that's fucking right. And then, you know, I see, and then I stop and I see, and my kids get to experience it, right? My kids get to experience Christmas with both mom and dad, and they get to have that, you know, they see mom and dad hugging and kissing and cuddling on the couch and laughing. I didn't see that. You know, the only memories I have of my parents, screaming, yelling, fighting, right?
Yep. And you know,
yeah,
not to take away from your experiences, but I'm very similar. Like, I remember my parents. So when I say my parents, I mean my mom and my stepdad, because he's the only thing I've had that was a consistent in my life since I was a young boy. You know, and it's given me, now that I'm older and have kids of my own, I'm like, shit, you know, to be a dad and then to be the dad that stepped up. I don't call him my stepdad, I call him my dad. And I remember they're arguing and fighting, and you know, they were, I remember like the shit things. I don't remember the good things because there was so few and far between. Then I don't remember those.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's wild. And you know what's crazy about it is, like, my sisters, they're just starting to, like, realize it now too, right? Like, we've been at each other, not my youngest sister. My youngest sister, she's, you know, she's very much, but my other two sisters and my older brother, right? Like, we've been at each other's throat forever. Just fucking, And I had to stop and be like, guys, and it took forever. My middle sister and I, we just started talking, sort of. And like, I had to be like, hey guys, listen, the moment we realize that we're fighting the same fucking demon, that it's us against said demon, right? The sooner we're going to realize, shit, we need to get along and we need to come together on this, right? And like, they're starting to get there. We had a big blow up on a family group chat there a couple days ago where, you know, with BBD's the splitting thing, right? And you know, my wife is in that group chat and she was looking at me, she's like, hey, leave it alone, down boy, down bad, leave it alone, right? My brother was starting to poke and you know, not realizing he's probably got the same thing, right? And I was just like, all right, I'm fine. I started to split. I could feel it. I just got this mischievous feeling. And I'm like, I'm going to make this fucker pay. Right. But like that, what does that do? What does that do? I make him pay. He makes me pay. And it just goes around and around in a circle. Right. So I dug a little bit back and then I pulled out and I'm like, hey man, you know what? Like, this ain't going to get us nowhere. We're heading in the same direction. We're just fucking bumping heads and bouncing off the walls just to get there. Right. I'm like, We need to come together on this, right? And you know, we're fighting the same shit.
Yeah, and you know, credit to Mrs. Frost. I think she stopped that race to the bottom of the barrel.
She did, but no. Hold on. Yeah, shout out to Mrs. Frost. She absolutely, like, hey, she led a horse to water, but she couldn't make the horse drink, right? So, yep. Yeah, shout out to her for helping, but at the same time, and I had to put the guns away on my own, right? I had to be like,
no, absolutely.
You know what? Like, and I was starting to get that, like, you know, that feeling, and then I'm like, man, you know what? This I could just go full tilt at this right now, knowing full well, like, hey, I got BPD, but that's just using it as an excuse, right? And that's not what I'm here. I don't want to do that. Right. So it's like, you know what? I have this. This is why this is happening. But because I'm hyper aware of it now, because I'm aware of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, now I can holster that weapon and call that growth. You know, this is growth. This is part of healing, man. And like, dude, I've done a lot of that over the last, I'd say 2 months, man. My boss has really pissed me off a couple of times where like the one day I kind of did go a little like, he looked at me and he's like, how badly you just want to hit me right now? And I'm like, dude, so fucking bad. So bad.
If I could do it and get away with it, you'd be getting a stunner just like Vince McMahon.
Yeah, man. But he's just like, you know, he's like, because he knew. He said to me 10 years ago, he's like, there's something there, bro. And then when I told him this past winter when I got diagnosed with, he's like, I know, bro. And he does things as kind of like a test, right? And he does it on purpose. He'll throw me in certain situations and he'll watch me react. Like the other day, he saw my face and he's like, man, he's like, how bad right now are you, mad? How pissed off are you? And I'm like, dude, I'm just... Yeah, I don't know. He's like, he was parked next to a motorcycle yesterday, and he's like, how badly do you want to throw that at me? I'm like, man, if I could lift it. He's like, yeah. He's like, calm down, bro. I'm just fucking with you. And I'm like, all right, yeah. Good. Right? Like, it's just funny. Oh, it's just funny. There's points where I start getting worked up, and then I'm like, I sit back, and I'm like, man, this is kind of funny, you know? Like, I gotta laugh it off, right? And that's what I did.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And like, you know, going back to Miss Frost for a second, with Mrs. Frost, like, you have to take the credit for holstering the weapon, but she gave you the tools. She set you up for success and you followed through. So I think that's huge growth on your part because you know better. She's like a gentle reminder, just, hey, leave it alone. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good partner. That is a partner.
Fucking right it is. And Mrs. Frost has said it so many times over the last, like, you know, 9 months or whatever it's been now. She said something. I don't know if you've heard me say it before. I made the video that I didn't want to go viral. I just made the video anyway. And it was like, you know, she told me she every day for 20 years, she had to fight me for me. Because nobody else was going to help me out. I couldn't do it. I didn't have those tools, right? So she was there fighting for me. And then, you know, yeah, man, it was that broke me. That made me sad. You know, like that was like, fuck. And, man, I don't know. Have you been following any of the BPD TikTok channels at all? Like Tannable and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I started going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And then I was actually going to talk to you for some recommendations.
I don't remember their names, man. They just pop up and I follow. You know who else has BPD that's good to talk to? Kylie.
Yeah. Really?
Yo, fuck, man. Kylie and I, we bounce shit off each other all the time, man. She's really good to talk to. She's phenomenal. And Kylie, she just kind of owns the fucking episode, right? She's just like, I'm going through it. I don't, you know, like she'd rather not, but like, you know, she doesn't know how to, a lot of the time she doesn't know how to stop it, right? And so, you know, also there's nothing wrong with also feeling those feelings, right? So like, I mean, you know, sometimes you just gotta feel them, and you know, life's, man.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I love Kylie. I can't say a bad word about her. I absolutely adore her. Anytime I'm having a shit day, she always reaches out. And just, how you doing, buddy? Like you do. And to have to know, I don't always respond or I don't always take those calls. But to know that I have those types of people in my corner means everything to me. Because like I said, blood makes you related. Love makes you family. And I'm growing the family that I want. And the family I want are supportive, are understanding. They want to help each other and grow together. And, you know, I can't say enough good about Kylie. You know that. I know that.
Yeah, fuck, man. Kylie's good shit. She's been through the ringer. And, you know, it's sometimes it's hard watching that happen to someone that you respect and that you like and whatnot, right? And fucking, yeah, man, I'm always right there if she needs anything, right? Like, fucking you and Kylie, man, like, let's go. I got you guys, you know? Like, you're like you said, you know, blood makes you related, but, you know, love makes you family, right? So, and respect, yeah.
Absolutely.
How's your shoulder?
Shoulder's perfect.
Yeah, I remember did you get surgery?
No, I ended up avoiding surgery, so physiotherapy for 6 months. I was in physio almost 6 months. End of August, I finished up physio, and shoulder's back in full swing.
Hell yeah. Shout out to my physiotherapist, man, Sherry at Coronation Physio, man. Like, dude, oh my God. Man, when I tell you, you know, when I was going into it, I was nervous. I was nervous, you know, like, oh, this is going to hurt. This is not going to feel great. Quite the opposite, man. You know, like, they were gentle. They were, you know, electroshock therapy. I crave that pad. Even now, just thinking about it, man. Like, give me some of that electricity, you know? Like, fuck, dude. It was pretty incredible, man. I went for maybe a month and a half, 2 months. And, man, it was... I wish I could go back, man. And you know, I switched up my massage therapist now because they do massage therapy there too. And I go there just to say hi to Sherry. I'm like, what's up, Sherry? You know, like, you got me walking again, you know, like I was afraid, you know. I was like, you know, like, I'm still limping a little bit, you know, and it could take up to a year to heal fully. I notice it like when I've sat down all day. You know, if I'm on my equipment all day, not moving around, or I'm in a long car ride, I go to get out, it's stiff, right? And it's like, oh, I got to move that around a little bit. I'm still doing my exercises and shit. I should do more. But, like, yeah, man, it got to the point where it doesn't swell up anymore. When it's sore, it's sore because I'm rebuilding muscle now, right? So,
yeah. So, you soon getting ready to head back up to my neck of the woods?
I am. About, what's the date today? Yeah, probably 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, nice. We'll have to catch up when you get up here and maybe go out to dinner or something.
Yeah, man. Yeah, how long have you been in Fort Mac?
January will be 13 years.
13 years, eh? And, like, you've never worked the oil patch, or you have, or what?
Yeah, I've worked in the patch for a minute, but... there was, at that point in my, before knowing what my mental health was, or understanding it, it was a toxic environment for me. I think now I could be successful, but I've got a great job in town that pays me site money. I'm in the union with full benefits, no politics, no BS. And I'm not just like, you know, I'm not discouraging anybody from applying to the patch. I love the patch. I respect the patch and all the men and women who bring Canadian energy and resources to market. But it wasn't for me at that time. And now that I think it would be for me, I think that ship has sailed.
I don't know, man. Okay. All right. I respect that, right? Because, like, you know, I have this thing where it's like, oh, you know, like, what do you mean? Everyone can do it. You got this, right? But, like, a lot of people don't want to hear that, right? They're just like, hey, I don't want to do that, right? And it's like, okay, you know, I respect. No, but, man, it was just odd, you know, the first time I ever talked to you or met you, right? Like, yeah, I'm a newfie from Fort. I'm a newfie. I live in Fort Mac. I don't work the oil patch. And that was just like, what?
Yeah. No, I've got a career path now, and I have a career plan. So for me to uproot that and start fresh again, like, not to say I wouldn't do it, just to say that I'm comfortable where I am, and it's not a comfort of necessity. It's a comfort that I know I have a path forward, and I'm going to continue to work towards my goals. Right. It's not that I'm just comfortable doing what I'm doing and don't want to be challenged. not to say it's never for me. Like, you know, I've put in an application or two maybe for operating equipment.
You gotta get rid of
If
that sticky beard, though.
see, that's what's gonna kill me.
Yeah, dude. I've had to. I've got this beard since the end of February when I went home on my injury there, and I gotta shave it for the first time since the end of February in 2 weeks, man. Like, I've already trimmed it down quite a bit because I'm giving the skin underneath chance to heal. Little by little, right? Like, I just know it's gonna be so gross under there, right? I'm just like, you know, like yeah. Oof.
I need to do that for my skin as well soon. I'm almost at that point where it's like it's gonna be time. I think maybe in the spring I'll trim it all down real small again and let it refresh. But for now I've had the beard for 2 years, I think. A little over 2 years. And I mean, I trim it to make it look presentable because I don't want to look like a Sasquatch, and I try to keep it nice and tidy, but I think it's soon going to be time for it to come off for a little bit.
I heard if you cut it off, it comes back twice as thick. I'm still waiting on mine to come back. You know,
I heard that too. I've heard that too, and you know what? I really wish it would come back twice as thick.
lot of blood, lot of blood. Shit. Oh, fuck. Hey, man, you know what viscosity is?
I do.
Oh yeah, what's viscosity?
So it's the way fluids travel through things. Like the colder it gets, the viscosity gets lower.
Yeah, the colder it
Like
gets, the
with
taller I get, right? Or it gets. Yeah.
yeah, so like oil viscosity and stuff in your vehicle. As the temperatures drop, you should be looking at lower weights of oil and stuff to help keep your engine healthy.
Well, I bet you're real fun at parties, aren't
I'm a blast.
Well, you know the where I'm going with it is the you know where I'm going with it. The podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and it wasn't sponsored by the Mudman the last time you were on the podcast. Episode 13 you were on, he didn't come in till 14 or 15.
I remember this.
Yeah. So we weren't talking about weight loads and the thickness of anyone's load back then. We were just, I don't even know what we were doing, dude. I don't know where this podcast was before, but I know it isn't anywhere cool. So, yeah.
I honestly think it might have been, honestly, Frosty. I think it was me, you, and Dennis, and I think we talked about people's loads for a minute.
Dude, okay, let's be real here. I'll never not talk about someone's load, right? Like, I think that's why the Mudman's a good fit. It gives me an excuse to talk about someone's load, right? So, shout out to the Mudman for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know? Love that guy. You know, man, the first time you're on, my audio was shit. Then he's, you know, supplied, you know, the headset and the mic. And then last summer, it's been a year and a half now. You know, the podcast, he you know, supplied the podcast with the MacBook so I could, you know, edit, right? So, you know, that guy, he's got himself one hell of a viscous load.
Oh, I think it's very viscous.
Yeah. Check out the Mudman, www.mudmanmarket.com. I fucking love that guy.
Absolutely. And you know, appreciate him as well, like giving you the tools for success and to see how much you've grown, not only personally. We've talked about how much you've grown personally, but how much the podcast has grown and how much everything has come full circle now. And now you got Starlink, you got a MacBook, you got a proper mic and headset. It's like, damn, this is, and you know, episode 145, but I feel like this is still just the beginning. I feel like there's so much more coming.
Dude, I've got a lot coming. But yeah, so you know who Creating Wonders is on TikTok?
Yes.
Yeah, man, I was in a live with him last night.
No
yeah
way.
man, and fucking Iron Sanctuary was there too.
Not a big fan of his anymore since he started working out. Like, thought the guy was phenomenal years ago. Really enjoyed him as a person since he started getting in shape and stuff like that. Great for him. I will never dog another human for getting themselves healthier. I just enjoyed his content a lot more prior to now.
So I was live with them and Dave the Upcycler and Reeves and Jeremy Littell, and it was like, oh my God, right? Fucking Dave creating those tanks, you know, those tanks he's making right now, right?
Yep.
So I'm like, what's a guy gotta do to get on those tanks? He's like, oh, I'm not making anymore. Fucking makes one for Creating Wonders, Jesse. And then Iron Sanctuary comes in and he's like, Dick, I can't do a bald head, man. I'm sorry. Iron Sanctuary comes in. Dave found out how to do a bald head real fucking quick. I'm like, bro, this is a fucking follower account thing, ain't it? Oh, I see how it is. I see how it is, bro. And no, like, I didn't actually really care. It was funny. I was just making him feel bad about it for like an hour straight. I'm just like, yeah, man, who's the next person to come in here to get a fucking tank with their name or their face on it? You know, like, let me guess, this person over here, right? And then like he starts making it. I'm like, oh yeah, all right, all right. I see how it is, bro. Right? I'm gonna have to like work my way up the follower chart or whatever just to get on. Okay, all right. Yeah, I just
But
made him
how
feel.
incredible, like how incredible of an opportunity is that? Like, I remember, I was a little bit starstruck when I first met you. And like, as a new creator and as someone who was pushing content out, I was like, oh my God, like I was in a live with Dick Frost and Uncle Hack. Like, those guys are cool. And I still think you guys are the greatest. I love you guys to death, but I've now have a personal relationship with you outside of TikTok. But like, how cool of an opportunity or an experience is it to be in a live with someone like Jesse or someone like Iron Sanctuary? It's like, it's humbling for sure.
Oh, dude, it's crazy. Creating Wonders, Jesse, he followed me back, right? And I'm like, this guy's got 14 and a half million followers, right? And we were talking today. He's coming on the podcast, man. He's all about spreading the mental health message because Jesse's going through it himself, right? That's why he does what he does, right? It's his outlet. And super anxious and shy guy, you know, like I wouldn't have thought, right? But like, yeah, no, he's coming on the podcast, man. And like, I'm really pumped for that. I'm really excited. I asked Lorena Bobbitt to come on the podcast recently, and because she's blue collar, she's technically a butcher, right? So there's that. And what's that? Her name there? She Fleischman, the girl from Charlie Sheen's bio series there. Fucking, she was a madam to the stars or whatever. Yeah, she's like a bird fucking trainer now because Charlie Sheen put her in jail for a while. So like he ratted on her. And then I'm like, bro, you gotta come out. And she read it. She's not coming on, but she read
Well,
it.
that's awesome. I'm so excited for Jesse's episode. I love Jesse. He was one of the very early creators that I followed.
Same.
And his words are so impactful. It's a short message most times, but it's such an impactful message that if you sit down and think about it and process it and apply it, it's kind of like I don't want to draw parallels here because I might offend some people, but
Parallelogram.
the Bible, you read it, you process it, you apply it, but that's kind of what you do with Jesse's messages. You sit down, you process what he says, you apply it to your life, and you realize things just get a little better every time.
Yeah, man. Yeah, 100%, dude. I love that. I love that you compared it to the Bible too, right? Because like, you're right. You're right. You read it, you find a way to make it impact your life, fit in, mold to your lifestyle. And then like you know, I don't read the Bible. I'm not religious, but like I get it. You know, the message is in there, like it's like a song. It's like a good song. You might take like a Taylor Swift song, and it might make you feel happy because like, fuck man, that's a good lyric, you know? Boom, it hits. This is how I relate to that. Well, someone else hears that lyric and they relate to it in a sad way, right? So It's like that, right? You know, it's all about, you know, how the message is perceived, right? And that's life.
And you know what? Shout out to T-Swizzle. She put out a new album last night.
Listen to it. So I worked 12 hours yesterday, and then I drove 2 hours home, made it home with 20 minutes to spare, listened to the album with Mrs. Frost. We listened because so Mrs. Frost and my sister are like two trivy peas in a far out pod. And, you know, she usually flies in from Ontario every time there's a Taylor Swift release drop. And she flies in and they listen to it. They have a little party. They order food and whatnot. And they love it. They listen. Right. And, you know, this time my sister, she just moved out on her own. You know, she's discovering that life's a little pricey right now. And she can't afford that flight. So my wife was going to have her own little Taylor Swift party and maybe talk on the phone with my sister about it. Well, I'm like, nah, your bestie can't be here. So I'll be here. We'll dissect those lyrics together. We'll listen together. We'll hang out. We ordered popcorn. We had some snacks and we listened to the Taylor Swift's new album and man, great album. Fantastic album.
I can't say I've listened to it yet. You know, she has some bangers.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely going to have to take the time to sit down and listen to it. So, I mean, that's on my weekend bucket list.
Here's what I said to my sister and my wife, because my sister did end up calling and we all had a little dissection. And they were like, I can't believe it's only 12 songs. Like, she only gave us 12. Last time she gave us 24. I'm like, you got to think about how she made this album. Right? She's very busy, right? She was in the middle of the biggest fucking tour the planet has ever seen. While she's dating and now engaged to a pro athlete who was jet setting around the world just to be with her at every chance he could. And writing a new album in the middle of all that while she was on tour touring this album. She her tour was a cultural phenomenon, right? Like it was phenomenon. Yeah. Phenomenon? I don't know. Either one. No. So like, yeah, it was a cultural phenomenon. And so in the middle of like a tour that's mentally draining her, she's battling with this music company for the rights to her own music. She only went on this tour so she could buy back the rights to her music, right? It's 300. She's a billionaire now, right? Like, which is crazy. Yeah. This tour officially put her in billionaire status, right? And she only wanted to do that so she could buy back her music that Scooter Braun had stolen from her. I know way too much about Taylor Swift and the Scooter Braun controversy. And this album, she calls out Olivia Rodrigo without saying Olivia Rodrigo's name. And like last album, she called out Kim Kardashian. And like, oh my God. Yeah, no, dude, I live with Swifties. It's great. Yeah, man. But like, what do you mean she only put out 12 songs? She put out 12 songs while she was struggling to survive, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, like I said, it goes back to quality over quantity. And sometimes you got to take the quality for what it is.
Yeah.
And like Youngblood and Aerosmith. So Youngblood's on tour. He's doing his American tour right now.
Yeah.
And he just put out an EP with Aerosmith. And it's only a handful of songs, but again, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Youngblood, did you see his interview, or not his interview, but his interaction with Ozzy, like a few days before Ozzy died, like a week before Ozzy died?
So him and Ozzy have been friends for a while.
Yeah.
And when Ozzy gave him the cross, I was like, damn, what a passing of the torch, right?
Yeah.
And he will never replace the icon that Ozzy Osbourne is.
Yeah.
But as long as his lungs fill with fresh air, we will never forget who Ozzy was.
Fuck yeah.
He is the next generation Ozzy Osbourne, and he has all the tools to be as good as his predecessor.
Yeah, man. 100%.
I love his music. I love his message. He's anti-government. He's against the system. Like, I find that so badass.
Dude, there's quite a few people that I've follow and listen to now that are very anti-government. And like, I try not to, that's not my scene, right? I don't post things like
yeah.
that. And, but I like it. And then a lot of the times I want to repost it, but forgetting that when I repost it, it becomes a part of my algorithm and my people see that. And it's just like, shit. Right. But like, whatever, man. I think it's Brian Andrews is a fucking gem of a human being. Right. And he just, people want to label him left and right. And he's just like, ah, man, I'm neither of those fucking things. I just common sense.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, I think we need to get back to common sense, but also, you know, RIP Charlie Kirk. But like you look back to what happened with Charlie, it's a humbling reminder that as a society, we need to get back to more of a centralist ideology so that we can all agree or agree to disagree without violence or without any of these other issues, because two little girls lost their dad.
Yeah, man. I found the video of that Ukrainian girl on the train that same day. I found the whole video. And I watched two fucking things in one day that just fucking, like, how do I unsee that shit? Right? One, I didn't want to see the whole video. I went looking for it. I shouldn't have. I should have left it alone. Because how I felt after that, it was like, it was angry, disgust, sad. Right? You know, and then not long after that, I see this guy with a fucking bullet hole leaking blood out of his neck. And it's like, fuck me. Right? But then you go and you flip to the next video and I'm like sitting there laughing. I'm like, this is a great video. This is hilarious, right? We weren't meant for that. We weren't built to do that kind of shit. We weren't meant to see that kind of shit happen and then laugh on the next video, right? We weren't meant for that, right? We it's hard to process that shit. Yeah, man, it's pretty sad, pretty heartbreaking, but I needed to go find funny videos after that to at least get some sort of myself back.
Yeah, no, it was a traumatizing time, and it was unfortunate that it got posted like it is, but with the hyperconnectivity of today's society, that's the new normal.
Yep. You know, that whole
week. Which is unfortunate.
That whole week, after everyone started finding the Ukrainian girl and Charlie Kirk, for that whole week, any video I posted shit the bed, because everyone's timeline, that's all anybody wanted to see, or all anybody was seeing was Charlie Kirk videos, right? Or the Ukrainian girl. So like, it was like, okay, you know what? All right. Either I don't post or I just throw up fillers, right? I'm just like, eh, whatever. And I didn't care. It wasn't about, it's not about the views, right? It's really not. It's just me having fun anyways, right? And but you go back now and people, and those videos are getting views on them now. Because, you know, they've moved on from that, right? Like, you know, every other day you're seeing less and less Charlie Kirk videos now, right?
Yeah.
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 It's just a cycle. It's just a news cycle. It's what it was. It was a news cycle, and that's horrible.
Absolutely. It's the nature of the beast, unfortunately. And, I mean, it is what it is. You can't change it. But at the end of the day, it was messed up.
Yep, 100% it was, buddy, 100%. Man, I'm proud of you, dude. I'm proud of you for, you know, getting help, discovering, you know, what is going on inside your brain. You know, it's not easy. I'm fucking proud of you, man. Congratulations. I don't know. Do we congratulate someone when they've been diagnosed with something? Because this is the way I felt about it. Like, okay. I'm spiraling. I'm bouncing off walls. I'm going around in this empty, hollow, whatever what you want to call it, just aimlessly doing whatever, feeling like shit. And then I get diagnosed with something. I'm diagnosed with something and, oh my God, I knew I was broken. But B, holy shit, there's a reason. Holy shit, now there's a way forward. So can we say congratulations, or can we just say, hey, man,
yes.
So congratulations. Congratulations on, you know, finally, you know, discovering your path. You know what I mean? This puts you on.
That's, Well, that's just it. And I couldn't agree more, Dick. As I think congratulations are in order because, like you said, you're diagnosed with something, but ultimately what it means is you get to learn about who you are and how this affects your daily life. But then there's a lot of personal growth that comes from that.
100%. 100%.
So I think congratulations are, in my opinion, I think that's a proper way of saying, good for you, good on you, because when we do good things, we congratulate each other, or when good things happen to us, we're in seek of congratulatory notes and stuff like that. And I think it's a beautiful sentiment.
Amen to that, man. I can get behind that. Yeah, congratulations, dude. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if you've used BetterHelp or not. BetterHelp sponsored. We went on a 3-month run with BetterHelp sponsoring the podcast. It was great. It's phenomenal. We're trying to get those numbers back. We're waiting, and then maybe we're gonna go on a longer run, right? We're gonna, see, what came about from that. And what came about for me, whether or not I get BetterHelp to sponsor the show long term now, it doesn't matter. Like I love doing it. It was great. But for me, I got free therapy out of it, right? And I met my therapist named Ian out of Colorado. Shout out to Ian. He listens to the podcast now. Jamaican guy out of Colorado. Shout out to him. He specialized in borderline personality disorder, and we just got matched up. We didn't know. I didn't say anything about that when I was looking for one. And he's just like, "Yeah, man, I deal in this." I'm like, "Holy shit, I just got diagnosed with that." Right? And that guy knew exactly, how to, handle me, I guess, or how to, go about dealing with me, right? And dude, it was incredible. It was a fun ride.
Absolutely. And I think it would be astronomical for them to support just because not only your own experiences, but how open you are about men's mental health and mental health in general. I'd love to see them come back. And at the end of the day, you got some therapy out of it. And with his specializing or his forte being BPD, he knew how to approach you and how to relate to you and help you understand what's going on in your head. So that's fucking awesome.
Dude, it was phenomenal, man. As someone with BPD, I don't know if you've gotten that far or you've figured out yet, but like we have favorite people, right? It's the people we can trust and the people that we really like we bond to, right? And those are usually the people that we hurt the most when we're going through our shit, right? And Casey's my FP, right? My favorite person. Ian is one of my favorite people. And luckily enough, he knows like what that means, right? But I've never launched out or lashed out at him or anything like that because I wasn't in that part of my, he really dug deep and he really made me uncomfortable, and which was good. I needed that, and I knew I needed that, and because of that, because I knew and because I was aware, I didn't lash out at him. Right? It was not like, hey man, like nothing like you see on TV or in movies where like, someone's trying to help you and you lash out and you're like, ah, right? You just lose your shit.
No, and that just means you're coachable, and it means that you're growing.
Fuck, I should play in the Oilers.
There
Back that money truck up. Give me that Kirill Kaprizov money.
you go.
Man, he just set the market for McDavid, dude.
Did
That's
he
why
ever?
McDavid hasn't signed yet. You know that, right? They all
Yes.
these agents and all these players, they talk, right? And
Oh,
Kirill
yeah.
Kaprizov set the market. McDavid was waiting for him to sign. He knew. He's like, all right, this guy's gonna go for this much, and he got 17 mil. McDavid's like, cha-ching, baby. Because Draisaitl got 14 mil, right? And McDavid's like, well, I can go for 15, 16, whatever. And then word got out there that Kaprizov was looking for 17. Well, if he's getting 17, that guy only gets 50 points, maybe, and he barely plays a season, right? Like, what the fuck? Now McDavid's going for 20 mil.
And you know what? Congrats to him for holding out. I would love to see him re-sign as an Oiler. If we lose him, I will be devastated, not going to lie. But I hope he's here for the long term. I hope he's here for the right reasons. And if he feels he deserves that money, and based on his playing and his back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, I wouldn't say those are out of his cards. Like, those cards aren't out of play for him.
Do you know what's crazy about the Kaprizov contract?
What's that?
In 3 years, the cap's going to jump by another $9 million, right? So in 3 years, it's up by $9 million. Even next year and the year after that, he's only 16% of the cap, right? He is, in 3 years, that guy, if he could live up to his hype and play healthy a full season, $17 million is actually like a deal. Right, like six. Oh, dude, and if you think about this, here's another thing that people are kind of sort of I've seen rumblings of. So most of that 17 mil season, 1 million of it is base salary, 16 million of that is signing bonus, right? So guaranteed dollars. That guy could take his $16 million a year, say fuck you to the 1 million, and go play in the KHL and still get his 16 million.
Wild,
right? Oh my god, insane!
I don't know, man. I'm excited for this season. I'm excited to see where things go.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a cup come home to Canada. I think it would be astronomical. I'm not. While I'm a huge fan of the Edmonton Oilers, I'm not one of those bandwagoners. But I will watch whatever Canadian teams are left at the end of the day.
I just started coming in for the football, man. I'm a huge NFL guy now. I'll watch any game, and be in. Dude, I watched a Thursday night game. I think it was Thursday. Maybe it was Monday. No, it was Thursday. Last Thursday. It was like the Arizona Cardinals versus, I don't remember who. It was two shit teams, though, on a Thursday night. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, the game is phenomenal, right? I love the way the NFL does everything. Man, their marketing, man, the NFL is the shit. And I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan now.
So I just got turned on to this. This randomly showed up on my FYP. So there's this rugby player out of, I want to say, like, Australia or something. Or maybe it's New Zealand. I can't remember. But either which way, like, she's a woman rugby player, and oh my god, I was watching her highlight reels and stuff. Whoa. I think her last name is Woodman, but
okay, just, I think I've heard of her.
Absolutely insane. Like, I've never watched rugby before, but now I'm like, I want to watch rugby.
Yeah. Dude, do you watch any NFL?
I'll watch the Super Bowl each year just to, you know, have that chill time with my friends.
There's a guy on the Giants named Cam Scataboo, right? Quickly becoming my favorite player in the NFL. One of my favorite athletes, okay? This guy is like my height, and he's built like a brick shit house, and he'll hit everything and be hit by anything. This guy ain't going to remember his name by his 23rd birthday, but my God, is he a fucking stud.
And, you know, that's kind of, it's a little bit scary because that brings you down the rabbit hole of CTE and how it affects the brain and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's funny. I actually just had a conversation. I maybe funny is not the proper word based on what I'm about to say. But it was a coincidence, maybe. I had a conversation today about Chris Benoit.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, like, I remember him as a performer. I don't know him personally, but I do know, like, you know, what he did to his family, and that's messed up. As a performer, he was one of the best to ever do it. But when they opened up his brain, they found an advanced stages Alzheimer's, like 80, I think like 89-year-old with advanced Alzheimer's was the condition of his brain. And it just makes you wonder, like, you know, how many more athletes this happens to that we don't know about.
I read Matt Sundin's book. I actually listened to it on Audible, and it was put out there when he was 35 that he's going to need hip surgery, right? His hips are shot. And Matt Sundin's like, that's not what the doctor said, but the Toronto media spun it. And the doctor said, as an athlete that plays at the level you do, one day you could need hip surgery just by the way, you know, athletes move and the way they play and the breakdown of your body. Right now, your body is fine. Your hip is great. And 5 years from now, not so much. But the Toronto media spun it like, this guy needs hip surgery now. He's broken. He's not going to be able to play. And that actually, the Leafs actually took that and was like, well, we heard reports and, like, you know, we're going to have to offer you less money, right? That was around the time you went to Vancouver for 10 mil a season, right? Which was an unheard of number back at the beginning of the salary cap era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was, it was wild. I remember that. And it's crazy to think what some athletes put their bodies through.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah, man. Dude, I don't want to keep you too much longer here, brother. It's, you know, we're getting on in time. So I'm going to, you know how the podcast ends, you know, man, with Mount Rushmore. Ah, fuck, man. I love, man, you're one of my favorite people. I hope you know that. You're like one of my favorite people.
I appreciate that.
I fucking, every time you post a Facebook status or you're live or every time, okay. Every time I'm at the mall and I go into like EB Games or I go into any store, I always go look at the Pop Funkos to see. I'm like, I wonder which one he doesn't have, right? Because like, I'm like, I want to buy Justin a Pop Funko, right? And like, I never know which one, right? And there's so many of them, I just get overwhelmed and I walk away.
I know the perfect Funko.
Okay.
If you want to get me Funkos, you can pop yourself. You can go on Funko's website and turn yourself into a Funko Pop and get me a Dick Frost Funko. And that would mean the absolute world to me.
I bet that's expensive, isn't it?
No, it's not.
No?
No, okay. you pay about what they're worth retail, maybe $20 American.
Shut up, really?
Swear to God, you can pop yourself.
I'm going to my room and I'm going to pop myself. All right. But like, no, that's fucking deadly, man. I want to do that.
Absolutely. You just go on Funko's website, you create yourself, and then, yeah, you just ship it out wherever. I'll DM you my address and if you want to do that. And I would love to have the very first Dick Frost.
I want to get the glasses and the mustache and the hard hat.
I mean, the opportunities are endless. And if you get over there and if that's a thing, if you can do that, it would be fucking hilarious.
That would be hilarious. Dude, I'm going to look into that tonight.
So my Mount Rushmore has changed up a little bit. On my Mount Rushmore is definitely going to be my son. Just idolize that kid. He taught me from a very young age that my feelings matter. He was upset and crying one day, and I said, hey, buddy, it's okay. You don't need to cry. And he's like, Dad, it's okay if I cry. And that really stuck with me, because now that I'm growing, I realize it's okay to cry. So he's my son. I look up to him as much as I think he looks up to me. I love and appreciate and respect that kid so much. He teaches me new things every day. So my son is going to be on my Mount Rushmore. Another person that I figuratively look up to, of course, you're going to be on my Mount Rushmore this time.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah, shit. I look up to you, buddy. Like, you're, yeah, and the way that you have tackled your mental health head on, and the way that you've taken me under your wing and set me with some guidance, I would be amiss if I didn't mention you. And then I think the last person on my is it three or four on your Rushmore?
It's four. But it's your Rushmore. You could have as many as you want.
I'm definitely going to put my grandfather back up there just because he taught me what it's like to be a man. He was the only one that didn't judge me and was patient and kind with me. And I have so many wonderful memories with him. So gonna put him back up there, and then I'm gonna put my dad up there this time. I have a newfound respect for him. Got to spend some time with him last spring, and it just really made me fucking realize how precious life is, because I hadn't seen my folks in over 10 years. And going back to Newfoundland for the first time, I want to say it was 11 years that I hadn't seen my folks. But it's a newfound respect, because now that I'm a father and I've grown, I know how much hard work and dedication it is to raise a son. And to do that willingly and take on that responsibility so willingly, nothing but admiration, man.
Hell yeah, man. I love that. Fuck yeah, man. That's your stepdad, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he's my dad. But
Dude,
yeah.
I didn't have a very good stepmom experience, like a step parent experience, right? Well, you could say my stepmom's a big reason for my trauma and my shit, right? Like, fuck, she was not a nice person. And looking back, maybe it was because of the way my dad treated her. But like, it couldn't have been easy,
No.
but like I see, you know what, man? I saw her in May when I went to my sister's wedding, and to sit across from her, I have this like my fist balls up, right? I'm just like, oh my God, like to sit across from her, I feel all this like rage and anger, but at the same time, as I get older, I feel understanding, right?
And you know what? I'm in that same boat, because when I, like, my step parent relationship was not a great one. Far from, like, it was oil and water. We did not mix. But
She
then when I got older and I realized that we weren't oil and water, I was oil, he was water. He wanted me to be water, but I couldn't mix with him. And I made it that much harder. And to see that everything he went through and everything he put up with, that man's a fucking soldier.
Yeah, my stepmom was my next door neighbor for a little while, right? Like when we moved in next door, and she was like 10 years younger than my dad, right? So it couldn't have been easy for her. I'm pretty sure I know what happened, but like couldn't have been easy for her to be like, oh, like this woman is moving out and this guy is like pressuring me to move in. And now I've inherited his children, and I'm not their mom, right? And my dad works away, so or didn't work away yet, but ended up working away and leaving his kids with her, who don't want to listen to her. And then he constantly just cheated on her all the time, and like, it couldn't have been easy to be her, man, and she's got mental health issues too already to boot. But like, she's from Sault Ste. Marie. I've never met anyone from Sault Ste. Marie that didn't have fucking, issues going on up top. So yeah, like it couldn't have been easy, man. It couldn't have been easy. So understanding is there's some understanding there, but fuck, man. Like the way she treated my sisters and the way like I felt treated and whatnot, like I almost want to scream at her, right? But like I know like that's not gonna do anything, right? These people are unaware of, or now they might be aware now, but they were unaware of their own shit, right? And that's why it's called breaking generational trauma, because they didn't know and now we do, right? So
100%, couldn't agree more. I was diagnosed with hypervigilance, and it's a very, very mild form of OCD. So because I didn't have positive reinforcement in the household, and the only time I actually remember my parents speaking to me was to tell me the bad shit that I was doing. And like, I'm breaking that cycle with my son. Every time I pick him up or I drop him off or I talk to him on the phone, I'm like, hey man, I love you. I appreciate you. I respect you. You're a great kid. You're very smart. And like, I'm so proud of you.
fuck
And
yeah.
to because I want that positive reinforcement. I want him to know that he's a good person. And when things aren't always peachy and he's having some behavioral issues, we can talk about it because he's my friend. I'm his parent, but we're also friends.
Boom.
And it's like having that conversation is so much easier with a friend than it is an enemy, because it's like, hey, you know, I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. And that hurts just that much more.
Yeah. Oh, man, that disappointment word. I say that sometimes at work or whatever to, like, you know, hey, man, I hope you do better, or I hope you feel better, or whatever it was. It's like, well, I'm not. There's nothing wrong with me. No, no, no. I hope you just do better at your job. I'm disappointed in you, you know? Oh, shit. Ah, fuck. Yeah. Whatever, man. Ah, smile, Justin. All right, man. Well, man, it's been a blast, brother. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. We're going to get you on again.
Absolutely. If you need a co-host for Jesse, you let me know, because I would love to do that.
Man, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to that, actually.
You and I both, I kind of have a little bit of a crush on that guy. He's fucking, like, the things he says, we can talk about it all night, honestly. We've talked about it already, but the things he says are so impactful.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah, man. Oh, I gotta get Conan a call, Mrs. Frost. She,
of course,
she misses me. She's not feeling so hot either. So,
yeah, you were saying. Well,
live over there. Last time she was kind of down this badly, she ended up having double pneumonia.
Wow. Well, hopefully that's not the case this time. But send my kindest regards. Please send my well wishes for her to feel better. Tell her I'm thinking about her.
Definitely will, man. Oh, hey, no one's thinking about her the way I am, though, so.
Hey, you know, I heard you guys are going to potentially try for a son this time.
We're trying, man. I don't know if I got a pointer due north or west and have my hard hat on and just the mustache or what, but just my Baffins and a hard hat, that's all I'm going to wear.
You know what? If that don't get you a boy, nothing will.
Fuck no. Fuck no. If I got to rub invert on my junk before I put it in. Oh my God. Oh my God. Lube.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you again for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I appreciate you. I love you to death. And again, nothing but respect and admiration. Congratulations on 145. I'm so stoked for you, and I can't wait to see 300.
Oh my God, dude. I got to get to 200 first, man. The podcasting game's a long game, man. And like, dude, there are times like this when it's easy, and then there are times where it just gets hard and frustrating and exhausting, right? And, you know, the first 50, 60 episodes, I didn't experience any of that. And then I started seeing why some people burn out, right? And it's like, and the podcasts die. It gets hard. It gets frustrating. It gets exhausting. It gets time consuming. Man, it gets all the things that, you know, it's not meant to be, right? You know what I mean? But, like, it's worth it. So that stuff is just a part of the process. To me, I don't care how boring, how hard, how exhausting, frustrating it gets. I'm here. This is my podcast, and I love it. So,
absolutely. And, you know, I say I can't wait for 300. You say 200. But just remember, you're 5 episodes away from being halfway there, bro.
Whoa, we're halfway there. Whoa, living on a prayer. Yeah, I gotta try to get Mike Rowe on for one of these episodes still. So it's been a while. I haven't really poked at him lately. So
send him some pokes and hopefully get him on.
I will, man. All right, man. Send him some pokes. Hopefully get him off, you know.
Whatever works.
Whatever works, man. All right, buddy. You have a good one. And hey, Justin, stay frosty, brother.
Thank you, sir.
You can't hear the music. It's playing.